And now, filling in for Sam Cedar, Air America's 14th biggest creditor, Mark Maron.
All right, man. 22 past the hour. It is Maron. It is. I'm in for Cedar. P.W. McDonald, Brendan, and Dan Pashman in the booth there. So wait, Sam is on the phone? He's not on the phone. You know what? I don't know if we have time for him. We can maybe get him in at the bottom of the hour. I'm in the middle of a story. Is he on vacation? Was he panicking? Is he at home panicking? Oh, Maron's getting personal. He's talking about himself. He's bringing people in. He might actually be entertaining people that aren't necessarily political. I got to put a stop to this. So I got to get up to beat on what he wants to talk about. No, here's the end of the story. If you're here from the last segment, is I'm laying in the chair. I've just been called out by the doctor who's cutting into my face. And I've just said that Richard Pryor is my favorite comedian. And the doctor, the sidekick doctor, who's now doing the surgery on my face, and the two residents who are looking over me, who are expecting a Seinfeld impression. But clearly, despite whatever I've said, I am bombing. Okay, I'm bombing in the chair. I'm not delivering the funny. I have a hole in my face, and I'm bombing. And here's what happens. So he goes, well, why do you like Richard Pryor? And I go, well, Richard Pryor was really the most open, vulnerable, sensitive comedian. You could see he wore his heart on his sleeve. He was the first to really close the racial gap in stand-up, and he really offered up a lot of himself. He was very honest. And he's like, oh. And then the only African-American in the room, the woman who's the medical tech in the room, goes, yes, he was very honest. So now I'm laying there with my face cut open, and I think, oh, great, now there's racial tension. Now there's racial tension in the room, and I'm not being funny, and I've caused a problem. And it was quiet for the rest of the thing. There was really literally no talking to me or her, and it was uncomfortable, and they're sewing up my face. And they sewed up my face, and it was all very kind of professional after that. Conversation time was done. And afterwards, it's just me and the woman. And I'll be honest with you, I've been back to the doctor two times, and we've become kind of tight, her and I. And I feel a bond there. And they're still a little too insecure about the surgery than I'd like them to be. Because I went back in after it first healed. Because what you're seeing here, the scar on my face, is a dermabrasion scar. Is you have a scar, and after 2 months after you have the surgery, you come in. And he said this to me, he goes, that healed pretty nicely. I didn't know if that would take the skin. And I'm like, wait, you didn't know the skin was going to take? And you didn't tell me that the skin might not take? What is with you guys? And he's like, why would I tell you that? And I'm like, oh, yeah, that's a good point. That's probably better not to tell me that. And so now they sanded it off. So they get rid of one scar by creating a larger scar in hopes that this one won't show anymore. So that's where I'm at with that. But a good point to be made about Laura Bush and this particular story is that she had this issue, and this is an interesting thing, for her to do something actually that raises social awareness in a completely nonpartisan way that isn't bullcrap, that isn't like, come on, kids, read a book, that that she had this problem that she didn't talk about. She said it was a private matter, whereas this is actually an important issue. Skin cancer is deadly. And because of the way that the global warming has taken effect, because of that we have very little ultraviolet protection, and just by virtue of the sun, that most people will have one of these skin cancers. And she's got a pretty bad one. This cancer that she had could become malignant. It's not melanoma, but it's not as safe as – it's not the good cancer like I had. I had basically the gift basket. I had a gift. My cancer was a gift. It was my brush with death, but not really. Like, you have cancer, but you're not going to die of it. So, count it as a blessing. But she had an opportunity here at the beginning to say, to raise awareness about this thing that most people die of unnecessarily because you're like, I hope that goes away. And they're trying to pop a thing that is malignant. But, okay. So that just a lapse in her personal responsibility. Let me tell you a little bit about the show today. Apparently, we're going to have Sam Cedar on in a few minutes. And if this guy, I somehow or another piss off this one gay guy every time I'm on the air. And he's remained pissed off at me from when I was on Sedition and I had a discussion about the word fag. I didn't use the word fag, but I had a discussion about the word fag. And somehow or another, he's a fag. Every time I'm on this network for 2 seconds, he starts calling the switchboard and complaining about me. And bring it on the air. I'm ready to talk about this. You want an apology? I'll apologize. But I'm starting to think you're nuts. I mean, I don't, you call Sam, you bother everybody. You call the CEO, the company, to talk about, call me. I'll talk to you for a few minutes if you're not frightening. I don't know how the hell I offended you this morning. We're going to have some other folks on today. We've got John Nichols from the Nation. We've got Jerry Stahl later in the show to talk about Apocalypto. We will talk about Hillary Clinton, Tony Snow, Powell, the escalating violence in Iraq and in this country, by the way. And also, we had a passing. Joe Barbera passed, and we need to talk about that. And apparently, Sam is going to call, right? I don't know if we have time. 27 past the hour.
Sam Cedar on Air America Radio.